actually tomorrow is my wife and I's anniversary as well, so we're celebrating our anniversary this weekend as well. And although she's not with me today, she's in Missoula and taking care of our daughter's place while our daughter is in Kentucky competing in jiu-jitsu this weekend. So, you know, traveling everywhere, it seems like. But my wife and I, we've been married for 35 years tomorrow. And 35 years ago, we got married in Missoula, and it was weather similar to this, except for maybe a little more wind blowing. And it was really a rather miserable thing. And then we went to Hawaii for our honeymoon, which was fantastic. I mean, it is amazing when you're having weather like this to go somewhere nice. The problem is you have to come back home, and that is the reality. Last time I think I was here with you, I shared with you that we, you know, had spent most of 2023 down in Mississippi and working with a church down there. And it's really kind of interesting because people from Mississippi keep sending me texts just about every day in the last week or two with a picture of a screenshot of their weather forecast for Mississippi. And it has been 86 and 75 and 78 down there. And I just keep telling them, boy, am I so glad I'm not down there. That would be so hot and miserable. I don't know. Anyway, we live where we do for a reason, right? And see, we don't like the heat. Yeah, that's miserable, isn't it? Not for you, obviously. Well, I will tell you, I don't like the heat, but I don't even like the heat in Montana in the summertime. So I spent about 16 years living up in Cutbank, and usually when I get depressed about the weather down in Helena, I look at what it is in Cutbank, and it makes me feel better. And but this week I did that, and I texted a friend up in Cutbank, and I said, hey, you're supposed to be making me feel better, and it's warmer in Cutbank than it is in Helena right now, and that's not right. And he didn't have a lot of sympathy for me, I can tell you that. Anyway, it is great to be back in Conrad and to be here with you this morning. Sometime I'm going to come here when your pastor is still here. Maybe he'll let me do that someday too, and we can hang out, and that would be kind of fun too. I want to talk to you this morning as we look into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open them to John chapter 15. And this is a passage of Scripture that I think is really kind of a key passage of Scripture in the New Testament, because John chapter 15 is the conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples, really the last intense conversation that he's having with his disciples before the end there. And so I think he's got some really important things to leave with his disciples before his death and resurrection and ascension back up into heaven. And how many of you know that, you know, when we put great weight on the last words that a person speaks before their death. Now, these are not the exact last words, but this is close to it. Jesus knew that that time was coming, and he had some things to share with his disciples that were so vitally important that they needed to grasp a hold of. And so I place a great weight on the words that Jesus speaks to his disciples in this passage of Scripture. And I know that this is a Scripture that you've all heard before, but I want us to just take a look at this Scripture this morning and see what we can glean from this passage of Scripture. So John chapter 15, starting with verse number 1, Jesus speaking says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, Jesus is using the illustration of the vine dresser, and the branches to teach a great lesson here. And he clearly states who the vine dresser, and the branches are. So who is the vine dresser? God. Okay? God is the vine dresser. He's the one that takes care of everything. Who is the vine? Jesus. Jesus is the vine. He's the one that we have to stay connected to. And who are the branches? We are. Okay. So those three elements that Jesus brings into this illustration describe this relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and us. All right? Now, the Holy Spirit is involved in all of that as well. But the reality is that God wants to see us prosper spiritually. He wants us to see us be fruitful. He wants to see us have great fruit produced in our lives. And the vine dresser is going to do everything in his power to help those branches develop the fruit that he wants them to develop. The vine is where we gain our sustenance, where we gain the nutrition that is needed for us to produce the fruit that the vine dresser wants us to produce. We can't do it on our own. In fact, Jesus makes that statement in this passage of Scripture. He says, apart from me, you can do just a little bit? Nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but the reality is I get a little offended by that statement. How many of you are like me? You like to think that, you know, we've got something of value in us, right? We can do something. But what Jesus is teaching his disciples here is, look, you may stay busy apart from Christ. And how many of you know people who are not connected to Christ, and yet you look at their lives and you think, well, yeah, they're good people and there's all kinds of good stuff there. What Jesus is teaching is that apart from him, there is nothing of any lasting value that will be produced. Yeah, it might produce a few shoots and you might see something, but it has no eternal value. The only things that we can produce in our life that have eternal value are the things that are produced by connecting to the vine, by being plugged into the vine. And so the reality that Jesus is teaching his disciples, first of all, is that you have to be connected to the vine. There is no way for you to be the disciple of Jesus Christ that you claim to be. And now remember, Jesus is talking to his 12 here at this point, okay? And there is no way that you can be my disciple if you don't stay connected to the vine. You will produce nothing of any individual value or of any eternal value. Now remember that one of the 12 betrayed Jesus, disconnected from the vine. And what happened? Yeah, there was a betrayal. Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus and handed him over to be crucified. So we must be connected to that vine to have any lasting value. And Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, so let's talk about the vine dresser first. God the Father and his role in all of this is to see us produce fruit. God's, the role of the vine dresser is to take care of the plants, right? To take care, and of course, Jesus' illustration, you're really talking about a grape vineyard here, most likely. And so the vine dresser is the one who is taking care of all of those vines and making sure that they produce the grapes that the vine dresser wants to see. If you plant fruit trees in your yard, I don't know if anybody around here plants any grapes. I planted some fruit trees at my house in the last few years. I have yet to see any fruit. Okay? I haven't quite given up yet, but I'm discovering a couple of things. Number one, I don't necessarily live in the best climate or have the best conditions for those fruit trees. And number two is I really know nothing about being an arborist, in our case, or a vine dresser, if we use the biblical terminology here. I didn't know anything about planting fruit trees. I'm learning as I go, and it's expensive because you keep having trees that die. I still hold this hope of being able to realize the fruit that I want to see. And so I still am working at the trees that have lived. I've planted probably 20 trees in the last 6 or 7 years, and I've got 5 of them that are still alive, and I'm still holding out some hope that someday I'm going to get some apples and some pears and some plums off of these trees. And so I'm going to do everything that I know how to do to see that happen. Well, that's the role of the vine dresser, is to do what they know how to do. Now a good vine dresser is going to be one that knows more than I do about taking care of those trees. He's going to have an intimate knowledge. If this is what you're doing for a living, for me, this is a hobby, okay? And I can be very thankful that it's not what I'm doing for a living, or I would be bankrupt long ago. But if it was what I was doing for a living, I would certainly be putting even more effort into it than I am as a hobbyist, okay? This master vine dresser that we have in God the Father is one who knows about the fruit, he knows about the vines, he knows about the branches, he knows about all of these things, and so he's going to do everything to bring those things to fruit. Now, if you look at verse number 2 of this passage of Scripture, and I'm reading the ESV, the English Standard Version, it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." Now, I looked that up in the Greek. How many of you know the New Testament was really written in Greek language? Well, there's another possible interpretation of that term, take away, in the Greek, which is to be lifted up. And in fact, most of the time when that Greek term is used in the New Testament, that is the way it is translated, is he lifts up. Now, I'm not claiming to have great revelation or to say that the translation that we have is incorrect, but I am saying that I do believe this. I believe that God the Father looks at this, at these branches, and if these branches are still connected to the vine, God's intent is not to take those branches away. God's intent is to lift them up and to put them in a place where they can be fruitful and productive. And I believe that because I believe that that is the nature of God, that he wants to see people productive and fruitful and not destroyed, and to not live a meaningless life. So when I look at this passage of Scripture, this is what it says. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, perhaps he lifts up. Because he says very clearly in that statement, that is still a branch in him. That is still a branch connected to the vine. So it makes more sense to me that it is lifted up. And I actually did do a little bit of research on grapevines in relationship to this story. And I have read that with grapevines, and I've never worked with grapes in my life, so I'm just taking this off of what I read, but grapevines can have a tendency to fall. And if you ever drive by a vineyard, you see that those vines are up on the little things there. And if they fall, they're not producing the fruit that the vine dresser intends. So to have them lifted up and put them into the proper place so that they can be productive makes complete sense to me. Well, that was really kind of a game changer. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a time that branches that are disconnected from the vine get thrown away and burned, because he tells us that later on in this same passage. So there is still a danger of those things being taken away and burned, but it's when they have disconnected from the vine that they are done that. So here in verse number 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, but you are not being fruitful, perhaps God's desire is to lift you up and to put you in a place where you can begin to be productive. And then he says, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. It is a tough one. How many of you love being pruned? No. That is not. So what is pruning? Well, yeah, cutting away the stuff that's not necessary, not necessarily even bad. It's just it's in the way. It's a nuisance. It's hindering the fruitfulness that could be there. I like to think of it this way, that a lot of times pruning means that God is moving us out of our comfort zones. How many of you like being comfortable? Yes. How many of you know that the more comfortable we are, the less we tend to depend on God? The more comfortable we become with our lives, the less we focus on God's provision and God's work in our lives. So if we have all of the money that we ever need, we tend not to think about God providing money. When we have all of the food that we need to eat, we tend not to think about how God provides all of the food. When we are just comfortable in our lives, when our health is good, we're not thinking about being unhealthy. We just take a lot of things for granted when we're comfortable. And so one of the ways that God prunes us is to just make us a little bit uncomfortable. Now, we do that for our children when we're raising our children, right? We have to move them out of their comfort zones a little bit to help them learn and grow and stretch and become what we want them to be as they grow. And God does the same things with us. He prunes us and he takes away the stuff that is hindering us from becoming all that God desires for us to be. Now that can be some things that are bad in our lives, and that can be some things that really aren't bad at all, but they're just getting in the way. So in today's world, what might that look like? Well, that might look like social media. Can you see how social media could get in your way of becoming what God wants you to be? Music, entertainment, sports, activities, it could be anything. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad. I'm just saying that there's a possibility that those things get in the way of us becoming fruitful for God. And so God may have to prune some of those things from our lives. Could be our job. There's all kinds of things. So God wants us to develop and to grow and to be fruitful. In fact, in this passage of Scripture, he tells us that it is God's will not just that we bear fruit, but that we bear much fruit that is sustained, that remains, that it continues for eternity. I believe this is eternal fruit that God is looking for in our lives, not just the temporary fruit of today. But God wants us to be fruitful, ongoing, and produce fruit that will last, that will remain. And that is our calling. That is what God is asking of us. So, what are some of the things that hinder us from bearing fruit? Well, number one is if we are not connected to the vine, we're not going to produce fruit. Okay? Jesus made that very clear in this passage of Scripture, that apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? So if we are not connected to the vine, which means if we have not surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ and we have not said, God, I will follow your plan for my life, then we will not be fruitful. We will not produce lasting fruit in our lives. So that blockage is definitely going to cause us not to be fruitful if we are not connected. So first thing we need to do is connect with God. Number two, there can be things that are blocking the flow of nutrients in our life. And we talked about some of those things, that it could be the social media, it could be our job, it could be a relationship, it could be, they're just a host of things that it could be, that those things may not be bad things, but they could be blocking the flow of nutrients that we need to come into relationship with God that allows us to be fruitful disciples of Jesus. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Well, what is Jesus saying? We understand that with the seed, you know, you don't take a kernel of grain right off of the wheat stalk and plant it. It's got to be dried. There's got to be death that happens within that seed for it to be planted, for it to come up in new life. And so what Jesus is saying is if we don't die to ourselves, then we can never be raised to new life in him. So Jesus describes that as being born again. And even the religious leaders at Jesus' time had trouble. What do you mean? I I'm a full-grown man. I can't enter into my mother's womb again and be born. Jesus said, you're a religious leader and you don't understand this? You've got to die to self to be raised to new life in Christ. We can have that new life in Jesus when we surrender everything to him. But we have to remain in him and allow him to work in us. Sin can certainly block the flow of the nutrients that we need to be what God desires for us to be. If we're walking in sin, we are not going to be producing fruit. So it can be things that are not bad just in the way, or it can be things that are bad that need to be cut out of our lives. And Jesus said this in this passage of Scripture, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be given to you by the Father. So what is the key that is there? Well, we abide in him, but we have to take his word into our hearts. It has to become a part of who we are. We have to depend upon the word of God. It's not just superficial. It's not just stuff. But we live the word of God. We meditate on the word of God. We memorize the word of God. We study the word of God. All of those things are so important. So I want to bring into focus a few things here this morning that back during COVID, I'm a U.S. missionary, and so we had a schedule filled with working with various churches, and then COVID hit. And so my schedule was cleared. Nobody was meeting in person. And we didn't know what was going to happen. And so there is a farm in Missoula that my wife has worked at over off and on over the years since she's been in high school. She grew up in Missoula. And they have a bunch of apple trees on this farm that needed to be pruned. And so during COVID, I took on the job of going over there and pruning apple trees, even though I had never done that before and didn't know anything about it. I was kind of depending on the owner of the farm to give me some advice on how to do this, and he did. And I learned some things, which is really what kind of triggered my desire to plant some trees for myself. Anyway, so I want to share with you some of the lessons that I learned by working on this farm and pruning some apple trees. So this is one of the lessons that I learned. Number one, green leaves does not mean fruitful. Things can look really good and really healthy, but an apple tree that does not produce apples is not a healthy apple tree, no matter how green it is. When you have a fruit tree, you want the fruit tree to produce fruit. So what does that tell me when I've got a green apple tree that's not producing any apples? Well, it tells me that that tree is still getting nutrition, but there are things going on inside of that tree that are causing it not to be fruitful. This is the reality with a lot of Christians today. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we haven't allowed God to prune all of those things out of our lives that bring us to a place of fruitfulness. Being green, being connected to the vine, is only the beginning. After that, God desires that we produce the fruit that He intended for us to produce. Next lesson that I learned is that branches that reach out are the fruitful branches. Now, this was interesting for me, and this is going back to the apple orchard. The boss told me, anything that is shooting straight up, cut it off. Those branches that are going out, spreading out, those you can leave. But the ones that are going straight up, those will do the tree no good. Okay? Those will not produce apples. But what they will do is they will block the sunlight from the branches that will produce apples. So those have to go. Like a tomato plant. Spoken like a gardener there. I don't know much about tomato plants. But I do know that he was right. Those branches, you got to cut them off. They don't need to be there. Those shoots, he had a particular term that he called them, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but what's that? Waterspout. Sprout. That's it. You got to get rid of them. You got to get rid of them. How many of you know it's hard to let go of things in our lives? Especially if we're kind of comfortable where we are. We don't like to just let go of things. But all of us have things in our lives that just need to be cut out. They're blocking the productivity. Now, I'm not saying that that tree that has those is not going to produce any apples at all, but it is not going to produce the kind of abundant harvest of apples that it should. Let me share you another lesson. To be fruitful, trees need to be pruned to the point of the tree looking barren and unhealthy. When I first started pruning those trees, and I started doing, you know, I would prune a little bit, and then I would call the owner over to come and take a look, and he'd say, well, yeah, it's a good start. And I'm thinking, and so I'd cut some more, and I'd have him come over. Well, you're getting closer. Cut some more, have him come back over, and keep going. Cut some more and have him come back over when the tree looks like it is now dead, like I killed the thing. And he says, perfect. I'm telling you, things have to be cut until you are down to nothing. Now, we don't like to talk about this, but there is, throughout Scripture, there's a theology of suffering. There's theology of sacrifice. All of those things are a part of our walk with Jesus Christ. It is a part of our lives. And we don't like to talk about it because we don't like sacrifice and we don't like suffering. And yet, the model that Jesus gave us teaches that. that there are times of sacrifice and there are times of suffering in our lives. Look at the lives of the apostles and the suffering that they went through for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't, you know, God doesn't call everyone to live at that level of suffering, but I'm telling you that when we're going through the rough times in our lives, in fact, if you look at, what chapter is it? It's in Corinthians, chapter that talks about comfort. How do we get comfort? Well, we get comfort by being uncomfortable and turning to the comforter. It's the essence of it. But you don't receive comfort if you're not uncomfortable, right? We don't need comfort if we're not uncomfortable. And so comfort comes when we're uncomfortable because of suffering and sacrifice and those things, and we turn to God and we commit to that. And so when I was pruning those trees and they look so barren because I've just cut everything off of them, I am telling you that the lesson that God spoke to my heart is that, you know, sometimes I just got to do the same thing with you. I just got to cut it down to where it looks like there's nothing left. But trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. And he is the vine dresser. So he wants to take us and make us fruitful. Even if a branch is healthy and fruitful, sometimes it is pruned for the health of the whole tree. It's not all about the branch. It's one of the lessons that I learned. So, in addition to all of the pruning of the water sprouts and all of those things that come up, the owner would come by with a chainsaw and say, we need to cut that branch off. And I'm going, well, that one's got all the blossoms. It's going to, you know, no, it's not good for the tree. That tree needs that one removed. There has to be a pruning. So what is our spiritual application of this one? Well, the spiritual application that God gave me is it's not all about me. It's about the tree. Who is the tree? It's the body of Christ. It's the whole thing. And what I think is best for me is not always what's best for everybody. Right? And so surrender to the cause of Christ in your life. Surrender to what God wants to do. So when you look at a local body of believers like New Life right here in Conrad, I've been a pastor for a long time. I've been a missionary, and I can tell you that within churches, we can get pretty uptight about our personal preferences, and we can hold on pretty tight to the way that we want things to look within the local church, and we need to be reminded it's not about me. It's about the body. It's about what is happening, the fruit that is being produced so that the world around us, the community around us, sees the glory of God, sees the goodness of God, sees the fruit that can be produced in their own lives as they surrender to him. And I've got to surrender my own preferences, my own desires, to what God wants to do in the whole tree. And the last lesson that I'm going to share with you from my experience is that left to its own devices, trees become less healthy, not more healthy. If you just leave a tree alone, you would think, well, if we just leave it alone, it'll be what God intended, right? Get into my opinion here now, but my opinion, that's one of the problems we've made with our forest management and those kinds of things, is just leave it alone. It'll get better if we just leave it alone and let it do its thing. Well, you know what? When I read Scripture, it says that God put the man in the garden and he told him to take care of the garden and to tend the garden, and that all of these things were under subjection of man. And so the idea that man is the problem and just needs to be taken out of the way to let nature take its course is not a biblical concept. That man should manage those things. Well, we are the same thing. A tree left to itself does not get healthier. It gets more unhealthy. Okay? And it will eventually die. Health comes from having all the proper care. So I know that there are those who don't like going to doctors. I'm probably one of them. I don't like going to doctors. How many of you are like me, you don't like going to doctors, but you do it anyway? Okay? Because sometimes it's necessary. Why? Because sometimes there are things that doctors can help us with to help bring health to our bodies that we can't do on our own. And we need their expertise, and we need their abilities to do things. And they don't know everything either, but typically they know more than we do about taking care of some things. So I bite the bullet sometimes, and I go to a doctor. I don't want to make a habit of it. I don't want to do it every day. I don't want to schedule my life around doctor's appointments, but I do want their help when it's necessary, because left to our own devices, we don't tend to get healthier. We tend to get unhealthier. If you have an injury that you don't know how to deal with, let's say you break your arm, and you don't go to a doctor because you hate doctors, and so that bone doesn't get set, and it gets infected, and it has problems, you're going to have problems with it for the rest of your life. It doesn't heal better without intervention. It heals better with intervention. Well, we need to turn to Christ. We don't get better on our own. We've got to stay plugged into Him and get the flow of medicine from Him that makes us what we need to be. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So God's desire for us is that we don't lack anything, that we have everything that we need. But He uses a couple of terms in here, testing of your faith. Well, most of us don't like tests either. But tests bring about something in our lives that we can't get without it. And then He uses the word perseverance. Tests bring perseverance. Now, that is a biblical word that I don't like. I'm just going to tell you. The idea of perseverance means that the hardship's going to go on and on and on for a while. Isn't that what it means? You don't talk about perseverance in the maybe some of you feel like you're persevering through this sermon this morning, but it will come to an end, I promise. Okay? But perseverance typically is an idea that this is going to be a challenge for a while. We're going to struggle for a while. And so we don't like it. That's one word I don't really like. Endurance. My wife is a long-distance runner. She likes to run half marathons and marathons and those kinds of things. I really don't run unless a bear is chasing me or something like that. That's about it. And even then, I'm not going to make it very far, so I better have another alternative. But when you talk about a marathon, when you talk about long-distance running, you're talking about endurance. Endurance. We were watching a show on TV, and they were talking, these runners were talking about how at mile number 9, I think it is, in a race, if you've run 9 miles, you kind of hit a wall right there, and you've got to persevere and push through that wall. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, why? Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense to me. Let that wall stay right there. It just... God puts walls in places for a reason. And my wife is just nodding her head, yeah, that's right. At 9 miles, you really hit that wall. And I'm thinking, if you're running a marathon at 9 miles, you've just begun. And you're already hitting a wall. But that's why it's called an endurance race. That's why it's called persevering, pushing through, all of those kinds of things. Well, biblically, we are called to persevere, to endure, to struggle, to allow that to develop us into what God wants us to be. That production of fruit does not come without adversity. Let me just tell you that again, that production of fruit does not come without adversity. We would all like our lives to just be smooth sailing, but it doesn't work that way. There are trials and tribulations and testings of our faith and things that we need to persevere and endure to become all that God desires for us to be and for that fruit to be produced in our lives. And this is not always an easy message, but I'm going to tell you that as we walk with Jesus Christ, as we are following in His footsteps as His disciples, there's going to be some hardship along the way. There are going to be struggles. We sang this morning a lot about, I'm going to see a victory. Well, when is it that we're desiring to see a victory? It's in the midst of our struggle, right? If we've already just been victorious, we're not really singing about, I'm going to see a victory. We're singing, I'm going to see a victory, when we haven't seen it yet, when we're still in the fight, we're still in the struggle, there is a testing that's going on, there's a struggle that's happening, and we stay plugged into the vine. We receive the nutrition. We allow the vine dresser to prune everything out of us that needs to be pruned out so that we can be what God desires for us to be, the fruitful believers and disciples of Jesus. So here's how I want to just close this message this morning. I just want to tell you, I don't know what you're facing, what's going on in your life. Maybe right now you're in the middle of a trial, a struggle. Something really difficult is happening in your life. Or maybe you have just come through that and you're on the mountaintop. You've already seen the victory that you were hoping to see. And if you're not in either of those two places, then I'm going to tell you that where you are right now is that you're headed to a struggle. And I can say that with confidence because I know the cycles that we go through. We go through the cycle where we're coming up on a struggle, a trial, a tribulation, something that's going to be a hardship for us, or we're in the midst of it, or we've just overcome it. That's where we live. And here's what I want to tell you this morning is if you are plugged into Jesus Christ, you can expect that the Father is going to lift you up and put you in the place where you need to be able to sustain you. That if you will stay plugged into the vine, receiving all of the nutrients from Him, abiding in His Word, then God is going to see you through. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're not even connected to the vine yet. Yeah, there might be some green branches on you, but there's no fruit being produced because you're really not getting the nutrition that you need yet. So you can look alive on the outside, but inside you know that you are dead and that you need Jesus. So if you're here and you need Jesus this morning, you need to surrender your life to Him, I welcome you to do that. If you'd like to come up and talk with me afterwards, I would love to talk with you and pray with you about that. If you are in Jesus, you are one of the branches, you are connected to the vine, then my encouragement to you is stay connected. In fact, increase that connection. Begin to pray and say, God, what is it that needs to be pruned out of my life? Let me cooperate with your pruning. God, those things that may not even be bad, they may not be sinful, but they need to be taken out of my life. Help me as we walk this journey to take those things out of my life. So let me pray for you this morning before we close the service. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I thank you, God, that you are so faithful. And Lord, I pray for your people in this place this morning. We're walking with you as disciples of Jesus Christ. Lord, every one of us have things in our lives that need to be pruned, need to be cut back, some things that could be eliminated, some things that could be rearranged in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Show us what those things are and help us to cooperate with you so that we can become the fruitful vines, fruitful branches that you intend for us to be. Lord, that we would bear fruit and that our fruit would remain, that it would be eternal fruit, all to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.